Amen. 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 Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, servers. We're turning to the book of Luke this morning, please. The book of Luke, and then we'll be looking to Psalms and Proverbs, but the book of Luke, chapter 8, is where I'd like you to turn in your Bibles for the next few moments that we have together. This is a familiar story to anyone who has read the Scriptures, followed the Lord for a while. You've no doubt read it many times. Some maybe have just come upon it. There's another version of this, I believe, in Matthew that gives a little more detail, but I've chosen the version in Luke chapter 8 for this morning. And it's the parable of the sower. A sower went forth to sow. And I want to ask the question this morning, what shall we do with the seed? What shall we do with the seed? Starting at verse 1, please, of Luke chapter 8. Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he just stopped. And he let everyone mull on those words for a few moments. Now, we're sitting in an unfair position this morning because most of us have looked at this passage and we know what's coming, right? Jesus is going to interpret the parable. But they didn't know that. So when Jesus said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear," that was a pretty common expression of rabbi teachers who would say, "All right, you think about that and apply that." And I can just see the disciples, the 12 and the ladies, kind of scratching their head and going, "Okay, we know about this, you know, agricultural society, but what is Jesus trying to say?" And he senses that, and then the disciples, verse 9, they ask him, saying, "Okay, we give up. What does this parable mean? What does this parable mean?" And then Jesus goes on and really explains it beautifully, in my opinion. He just leaves no doubt as to what he's talking about. Look at verse 10. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." He said, "Now you guys have an inroad. You've got me." And the word mysteries there means something that's been covered for a while, and now it's being uncovered. So I've been uncovering things for you fellas, and you really ought to know this, but I'm going to go line item by line item, and I'm going to detail to you what this means. And he begins in verse 11. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. So you go back to verse 5, and it says that a sower went out to sow, and his seed. And so right away we know, what is the seed? It's the word of God. The word of God, that's the seed. That's not real hard. The seed is the word of God. So in everything that happens with the seed, we know that it's the word of God that's going forth. We talk about the word of God. We believe in the word of God. We talk about the power of the word of God. But in this parable, it shows that the word of God can only do so much. And after that, people have got to take it and use it. Amen? They've got to apply it. So all of a sudden, the parable becomes very important to us with the question, what shall we do with the seed? Now, who is the sower of the seed? If the seed is the word of God, the sower perhaps represents Jesus as he's sowing the seed. Maybe the sower represents one of you that witnesses through the word of God. You know, there's a number of things I think that the sower might be able to be. But the fact is, once we get the seed, the question is, what shall we do with the seed? What shall we do with it? And then he goes on to explain even more. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes. Look at verse 5. The seed on the wayside was trampled down, and the birds came and devoured it. So that seed was trampled, and then birds came. And in verse 12, he says, the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And so it's obvious, who are the birds? The devil bird. I won't tell the story, but some of you will remember my incident up at the camp with a, what is that? Oh, what's that bird? Where's Mark when I need him? Just a minute. Let me ask my other self. What is that? Grouse. They are a devil birds. And I won't take time to tell the story, but anyway, they scared me to death up at the camp. Well, anyway, he said the birds represent the devil. The devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. How many know this today for sure? The devil doesn't want you to have the word in your hearts, right? He doesn't want you to have the word in your heart. And so here he comes to that wayside seed, and he grabs it. People have trampled it. People have ignored it. We see that happening in our culture today. We see the word of God becoming less and less important to more and more people. But to you and I who believe the word of God is everything, we've got to hold it high and hold it up and believe it and let it sink deep into our hearts. We cannot let it be just trampled in our life. Because once that happens, the devil then comes and the seed becomes easy prey as he takes it out, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in the time of temptation fall away. And if you go back to verse 6, it says, some seed fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered because it lacked moisture. It didn't have what it needed to put down root. So this talks about some folks who took the seed, but they didn't allow it to grow. They didn't allow it. They didn't do what was necessary to help it take root. And when temptation came, when things began to get tough, they fell away. My heart goes out to that person. To think that we could have the precious word of God, the seed that would grow into unimaginable, wonderful things, and when temptation comes to say, nah, that's too much for me, I'm going to back out of this thing. I've met a lot of people in my life, and some of the most miserable people I've met are people who knew the Lord and no longer serve the Lord. My heart goes out to them, but it's never too late because they can come back to the Lord. Amen? How many know the prodigal son can come home? Praise God. Amen. Absolutely. So we never give up on. Verse 14. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Look back on verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. So here is the seed, and it's growing, but along with it comes the thorns. And the thorns overcome the seed. The reason the seed is choked away, Jesus says, is because of cares and riches and pleasures of life. It seems to me what he's saying is you have to be careful with the seed that's planted because it'll get choked out by other things if you allow those things to become more important than the seeds. So you have to protect the seed. Jesus said of cares, what did he say? He said, cast all your what? Cares on me because I care for you. See, that's what we have to do with cares. We have to cast them on the Lord. If we don't, then those cares can become like weeds and thorns, and they can begin to choke the seed. And then he goes on in riches. And riches have their place. But if riches become all we live for, it can become something that will choke out the seed as well, right? So we have to be careful that we have our money is put in the right perspective. No matter how much or how little we have, everyone has to understand the right perspective of money. All money is a medium of exchange. And today in our world, you know, we use, well, not so much paper money anymore. It's those slide in the cards thing. No one laughs harder than some of the young clerks when I'm trying to use a card in their machines. Bless their hearts. So I just play dumb. Anyway, I won't go there. But remember, it's just a medium of exchange. But it's what we think of the dollars and the money. And all of us understand, don't we, that all the money that we have, no matter how little or how much we have, anyone in this room, we have it because of God's blessing. Amen? Amen? You say, well, wait, I work hard on my job. And so do I. 11:30 last night, Jimmy and I were at the camp fixing a leak that sprung up automatically, just all of a sudden. We were up while you were sleeping, some of you. We were working. We work hard as well. But the money that we have is not because of us. It's because of God's blessing. Come on. It's God's blessing. And that's why we honor the Lord with the first fruit of our substance, Malachi says, to honor the Lord with our dollars and our tithe, etc. But if we're not careful, it can choke the seed if we don't have the right attitude. And then pleasures of life. Now, one thing we need to know, Jesus is not against pleasures. There are pleasures in this life that I thank God for. I mean, when I walk into the church and my little grandchild, my grandson, looks and says, Grandpa! That is a pleasure in life. How many grandparents say amen? What a pleasure in life. There's nothing wrong with that pleasure. But how many know there are some pleasures in life whose whole intent is to take away the seeds? So we got to decide which pleasures are for us and which pleasures are against us. And that's what this is talking about, is the pleasures that would choke out the seed and take the place of the Lord. And there can be no fruit of maturity then. And then the seed falls, verse 15, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. The good ground. What are we going to do with our seed? Go back, if you would, please, to verse 1, 2, and 3. It says that Jesus went about in every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The good news. That's what good news means. The glad tidings, the good news of the kingdom of God. What is the good news of the kingdom of God? Is men and women can be free from their sins. Hallelujah. As evidenced by communion this morning, we can be saved, we can be redeemed, we can be born again. That's the good news, right? It's good news. And watch what he does. It says here, he preached the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Now the 12 represents the 12 men Jesus chose to follow him, the disciples, if you will, which would become the apostles. One would fall by perdition, Judas, be replaced by Matthias. But the 12 represent the men. The men. And I've heard it said, how unfair is that? Jesus should have threw a few ladies into that group. They would have probably been better off. Well, Jesus didn't leave the ladies out. Read on. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. As a matter of fact, all of these disciples had some miracles take place, but one of the greatest miracles that happened of those that followed Jesus was with Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, a woman who we tradition says was a prostitute. We don't know that for sure, but tradition says she was a prostitute. But what we know of her is that she had seven demons inside of her. Seven demons. You say, that's not so bad, seven. Listen, if one demon, if just one can drive a herd of pigs into the sea, what can seven do? Come on. This woman was filled with demonic power. They possessed her. But Jesus, when he found her, he loved her. He cast out the demons and she got saved and began to be a follower of Jesus Christ because the seed found good soil. How many know God did it then? God can do it now. Hallelujah. God can do it now. Demon powers have no authority over Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has authority over the demon powers. Now, if you're a believer, this is my opinion, I believe I can prove it in Scripture, you can't be possessed with demons if you're a Christian, but you can be pestered by demons. You can be, there's another word, but anyway, but they can't possess you because the Holy Spirit possesses you if you're a believer. Amen? But that doesn't mean they won't try to do things. Well, Mary Magdalene is an excellent example that if someone is possessed, they can be free. And if you are a Christian and they begin to bug you, you can rebuke them in Jesus' name and they have to flee from you too because of the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. That was the powerful gospel. But it was not only Mary Magdalene that was part of the ones that followed Jesus. There was Joanna, the wife of Chuza, and Herod's steward, and then Susanna, and many others. So the ladies were well represented in the following of Jesus. Many times we think, well, it was just the 12 disciples. No, there was a group of women who followed as well and ministered to him from their substance. They were very generous in helping Jesus' ministry. My point of that is this. The parable of the sower is intended not just for men, but for women as well. It is intended for those who answer the question, what shall we do with the seed? All right, to wrap up, go back to verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having good heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. An honest and a good heart. What shall we do with the seed? It's obvious to me that what we ought to be doing with the seed is letting the seed, which is the Word of God, come into a noble and a good heart. And so this speaks to us then of the condition of our heart. How is your heart? How is my heart? Is it good and is it noble? In Psalms 119:11, David wrote this. He said, and you know the verse, thy word, say it with me, thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Your word, the seed, I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, granted, according to the parable, if the seed finds good soil in my heart, I'm going to produce 100-fold. I'm going to produce 100-fold. There's going to be a great harvest. There's going to be a great blessing. But David said, I've got to make sure the seed is in my heart so that I don't what? Sin against the Lord. And so hiding the word in your heart, reading the word, studying the word, reading the Bible. Someone said the other day, and I agree with them, they said, sometimes it's hard when you read the Bible and your mind is so distracted. How many can associate with that? You sit down to read the Bible, you know, your mind's going just fine, but when you sit down to read the Bible, all of a sudden, it's like 1,000 birds come. How many remember Alfred Hitchcock's movie, The Birds, right? That's what happens when you start to read the Bible. You get all these birds going, they're wanting to steal the word, steal the seed. But that's all right. Read it anyway. Because I believe that even if you read it and you can't, and someone says, "What did you just read?" And you go, "I don't know." You have hid the word in your hearts. And when you need that word, you may not know scripture and verse, but you can say, "Wait a minute, devil. I know I read it the other day. It's right in there somewhere. It says you're defeated." Praise God. Amen. So we hide the word in our hearts so we don't sin against the Lord. And we do that because of Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence. Protect your heart. Keep it noble. Keep it good. Because out of it springs the issues of life." It's out of the heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what? Speaks. We can tell what's in a person's heart by how they talk. Amen. What's in their heart eventually comes out. Now, I'm not talking about that accidental one-time little thing that, you know, you get a little upset and you say something you shouldn't have. Okay? But someone that has a pattern of spewing out stuff that's not good and that's vile, I want to tell you, that's in their heart. Come on. That's in their heart. And yet someone that blesses, someone that encourages, someone that does their best to try to speak good things, that's what's in their heart. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. In other words, everything starts with the heart. That's why the heart becomes this wonderful receptacle for seed. If the heart is good and noble, and it can only be good and noble by the touch of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, was it Jeremiah that says the heart is desperately wicked and who can know it? See, that's the condition of the heart before Jesus. But once Jesus comes into our life, he changes our heart. He gives us a new heart, right? Instead of a heart of stone, he gives a flesh. He gives us a heart of blessing, and it can become good, a place for good soil to be planted. And all of a sudden, my heart is not desperately wicked because it's been touched by Jesus. And now it becomes good and noble. And it's my job to put the seed of the word in that heart so that out of that heart, my mouth can speak. My mouth can speak. I believe that if anybody ought to prove what's in our heart today, it ought to be the Christians by the way we speak, by the way we speak, by what we say. Let me read Proverbs 4:23 and then I'm finished. From the Passion Translation, listen to what it says. "So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life." Guard your heart. Make sure your heart is right. Touch my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Touch my heart, O God. May I be like you. Touch my heart, O God. So, what shall we do with the seed? What shall we do with the seed? I say we let the seed come into our hearts. Let the word come into our hearts and let it produce 100-fold. I'm going to step out on a limb when I say this. I don't know that I can prove this. And if someone comes to me later and disproves it, I'll concur with you. But until then, I'll stay on this limb. It just seems to me, if the word finds a place in the good soil of my heart and it produces 100-fold, that means if I can just get one scripture in my heart, it'll be like 100. Some of you are going, "That's it, Pastor, that's it. I won't read a chapter, I'll read one verse." No. I think what I'm thinking is that if we can get the word in our heart, it'll do more than we can even imagine. if we can just let the word take the seed and put it in our heart. Praise God. Put it in our hearts. Some of you knew Sister Tower. She's passed away. She was Sister Winston when I first came to the church. They were one of the first families to help start the church back 54 years ago. When I first met her, I knew she was a lady of the word because the Bible she brought in, it was one of those Bibles a little bit bigger than mine, but it was like this fat. Not because they made it that way, but because she had written so much of it in it. Because the more you write in your Bible, the fatter it gets. So if you want to be spiritual, write in your Bible a lot, and it'll look like it's that. But I could tell by her Bible. I have some of her Bibles. She went through several while she attended here. I have some of her Bibles in my office, and they're precious to me because those Bibles represent one of those old saints of God who just consumed as much of the Word as she could. And I'll tell you this, she could tell you where it was in the Bible. She could tell you where it was. I think that's a good model for us younger ones. Amen? Us younger ones. That feels good to say that. Jesus, thank you for the seed. What shall we do with the seed? We're going to let it into our hearts. We're going to let the Word of God come into our hearts. We're going to read the Word and hear the Word and listen to the Word. We're going to let it into our hearts. And it's going to grow. It's going to grow. It's going to be a blessing. I don't want my seed to be on the wayside. I don't want it to be on the rock. I don't want it to be in bad soil and be choked with thorns. I want it to grow. So Lord, help each of us to open our good and noble hearts to the throwing, the casting of the seed. Lord, let your word be in my heart. We may not have time to read more than a verse in the morning. Let's read the verse. We may have time to read a chapter. Let's read the chapter. But whatever we can do, let's allow the seed to go into our hearts so our hearts will speak volumes of the joy and the love and the power of God. Thank you, Lord, for this time we've had together this morning. Thank you for communion. May you be with everyone now as they go their separate ways. Give them a blessed Lord's day, and we'll look forward to seeing everyone again next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we applaud the Lord today and thank Him for His Word? Amen. 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 God bless you. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. God bless you.